Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we just read from comes from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. I've included a part of it beyond the stipulated text for reasons. And I did it because the traditional text, I don't think, fits how we actually observe the liturgical season. That sermon begins, of course, with the stylistic Beatitudes. But then Jesus segues into some very practical things. He re-ups the Ten Commandments. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Not a jot or tittle will pass away until heaven and earth pass away. And in his re-upping, Jesus doesn't seek to minimize the law, but in fact, he seems to maximize it. Like how Luther's explanation for the Ten Commandments all follow a don't do X, but do Y. If we thought that we could keep that negative side, that don't, it's the positive side that kills us. That section of Jesus' sermon ends with the line, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." By all means, try it. You can probably get further than you might think, but without some serious goalpost shifting, perfection is a high bar. Jesus follows that with what is the traditional Ash Wednesday reading. In rapid succession, Jesus recommends good piety practice. Give to the needy. Pray. Not like the Gentiles do, piling up words, but this way. Our Father. And when you fast, do it this way. Those would be the traditional observances of the Lenten season. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Just out of curiosity, how many here have ever attempted a serious fast? Or even something along the lines of the Islamic Ramadan, eating one meal a day. How long, if you tried it, did it last? It isn't that piety practices aren't good things. Jesus is being straight there. But I think he's also making a preemptive strike at our next refuge. If we can't be perfect, well, maybe we can make up for it through these pious acts. Behind both of those options, following the law perfectly or getting a little extra credit religiously, is fear. It's fear that the Father is the stern, perfect judge running his panopticon. And the fact is nobody can like a tyrant. The more the tyrant says it's just for your good, the more we despise him. If our law abiding and our piety is done out of fear, we're just biding our time until we can attempt to be Brutus to Caesar or Pilate and Peter to Christ. If our practice is out of fear, how bad are our eyes? One of the things that Jesus came to do was to give us clear eyes, to take the logs out of our eyes in regards to the Father. Instead of fearing a tyrant, look at how much beauty and goodness remains in a fallen world. Look at how day to day and hour to hour, the Father sustains a world in outright rebellion against him. Look at the birds of the air. They eat. Even in the midst of winter, the earth feeds them. You think that this panopticon Father has his eyes on them and not on you in the same way? Look at our own mortality. Can we do anything about that? We do all of these things. And maybe some of them are good. We exercise, we take the right medicines, we have special diets. But do we know? Only in comparison to a norm can we really make comparisons. Or let's take an extreme case. Does anyone really believe that human consciousness is this close to being transferable into something made outside of our mortal bodies? Is anybody betting on the singularity that we'll be able to play God and breathe our life into some other lump of clay? We think the Father is a monster because of this. But look at the flowers and the lilies. Look at how gorgeous they are, and they last a day, maybe a season. We get a lifetime. You think that's not beautiful to the Father? Or not meant and given for grace? You think that when these tents wear out, which they do, that he'll not clothe us with something more glorious? Jesus came to fix our eyes. The Father is not a tyrant, but the lover of mankind. The source of all good and perfect gifts, which he relishes giving. When we know we are loved, it's amazing how we can lift up our heads and how much our brows can carry. The Gentiles scratch around the fearful panopticon looking for food and clothes. They pray up long prayers and parade their fasting before others. They practice giving in front of everyone. The more people who know it, the more sure our reward is the thought. But those are acts of fear. And the greatest fear is of our enemy death. Nobody will know or remember us. And we shall be turned over to a tyrant. The pop group Depeche Mode captured it rather blasphemously. When I die, I expect to find God laughing. But you, seek first the kingdom. Because you know the Father is love. You can bear the ashes and hear that we are dust, and to dust we shall return, because you know that you are in Christ. Your name has been graven into the palm of his hand. You can practice your piety and humility, looking out for the good of your neighbor, because love is unique. Love has an infinite source. It can be rejected, but it's never lost. Love always returns to the Father. And even that law which kills us in Christ, it becomes the cross that we carry day by day. Don't worry about tomorrow. We have enough trouble carrying it today. But the same love that raised Jesus will raise us. By that love, we walk past Calvary. We walk past this earth and this heaven to where our hearts reside, where the ashes will be removed one final time. Amen.